popping. Oh, yeah. Sorry about the wrinkle with part one of the podcast yesterday.
What happened?
I don't know. Our software just cut out. That's the third time that's happened.
That damn technology.
I know. We lost Monkey Mobile Mel, which was a huge loss.
Yeah. He's going to be really bummed out about it.
Considering how miserable he was doing the interview.
I know. That's what I was getting at. Actually, it'll be his friends that'll be the most bummed out, because for the last 10 minutes, his buddies wanted to go cruising, and Mel was too polite to get off the phone with two idiots.
It's with these guys that want to go, are so desperate to go cruising. I mean, Mel's not.
I got to tell you,
16.
I drove up and down Woodward today, and they are out in full effect at, it was about noon. Noon, all the way from...
I was out there.
From 11 Mile all the way up to about Maple. So that's 4 miles.
Somebody's shooting a movie on the Woodward Cruise, by the way.
What?
Yeah, on Catalpa. Somebody's shooting their movie. I don't know if it's a documentary or on the Woodward Cruise or what the hell it is.
Maybe it's Transformers.
No, it's not Transformers.
Because they've been in town filming.
In Royal Oak?
No, you know, when they were downtown, there was, I thought I mentioned this, that there was a lot of footage of Optimus Prime driving down I-96. They were filming out in Stockbridge, which is like
cool.
M-52 out that way. Yeah.
Man.
It looks pretty badass just seeing Optimus Prime cruising down the highway.
Oh, Trudy's here.
Oh, don't let us bother you, Trudy. Don't let us interrupt.
She brought the Coke, though, I think.
Sorry.
The cocaine?
Sorry.
No, she... Coca-Cola.
The way you said it.
Pretty probably. It did sound
funny. Trudy brought the Coke. All right.
We just started.
It's all right. And your mic's off, so
your mic's off.
Nobody can hear you anyway. Jay's got you. Just kind of cobbling things together today.
The dogs are going ape shit. The dogs are so well trained, though.
They really are.
So proud of them.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Did you get anything? Did you get any good presents?
Yeah, I got a pair of Oakley Aviators.
Whoa.
Cool. Yeah,
whoa.
Right?
Whoa.
Oh, purple.
Where'd those come from?
Oh, Royal.
Is that a private
those are sharp.
No, Joey got them for me.
Sweet.
Not this Joey.
You're Joey?
Wow. He must have saved all his allowance.
Yeah. How many weeks of allowance did that cost?
He had to break open his piggy bank.
What kind of crazy allowance is this kid getting? Very concerned.
He had to sell his baseball card collection and his,
alas.
His Pog collection.
Pokemon.
X-Men. Yeah. Pokemon's huge now, so netted him a fortune.
Boy, those are sharp. I like them.
Yeah. Nice. You know what, though? I was going to head out early. And I left my phone. You know how sometimes you gap out and leave your phone someplace and then you have no idea where it is?
Oh, that's horrible.
And the landline, we disconnected that eons ago. And so it was dead as a doornail, which is its usual state. And so I couldn't call to find the phone. And finally, when I found it, then I'm running late, hot, and everything traffic-wise.
And then made you stop and pick up Coca-Cola.
Yes. And the wench at the mobile station didn't have a box. So I have a bag full of 12 chilled Coca-Cola.
Oh, wow.
Bottles.
Yeah. Awesome.
So,
well, I'm glad you were late then for that.
You know what's funny is how absolutely indispensable. I mean, I can't live 5 minutes if I don't know where my phone is.
Oh, yeah.
I can't go anywhere without it. It's like oxygen. And yet, we had no mobile phones for the majority of my life.
Of course.
I know.
But I just feel, I seriously feel impaired horribly. It's like I'd rather be ill. I'd rather have a medical issue than not have my phone.
I know. Isn't that the truth? And on the way over, I felt like I was actually communicating with you guys because I was listening to the 911 lady from yesterday. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Her off the phone.
Poor
no,
lady.
No, it was actually a very sympathetic story, though.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're the neighbor and this fire truck's roaring twice a day.
I don't know. She just, yeah. I like seeing firefighters, so I don't know what her problem is.
Trudy's going to start calling them twice a day.
Yeah.
People that
use resources like that and just think nothing of it. I mean, would you call 911 twice a day ever?
No, but yeah.
Have you guys ever called 911?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing serious or... Was it for something else, or was it involving you guys?
It was Tess had a really bad kidney stone. She
was
in horrible pain, and I didn't. She never had one before. I know what to do. So anyway, it was about 5 seconds into the call, and I realized, oh my God, this is being recorded.
Yeah, that's kind of the point I was getting to. I've called it 4 times.
You have?
Yes.
Really?
Once Julie had an overreaction to a medication, And my favorite part of that story is
a overreaction or a physical overreaction?
Well, both. She had an allergic reaction, I think is the proper way to put it. But my favorite part of that, that's such a long story. My favorite part, though, is when the paramedics came and she's sitting on the couch and they're talking to her. She's starting to get better because I got to save her life with an EpiPen.
Oh, cool.
Which I remind her of.
Wow, what a hero.
All the time that I saved her life. Yeah, I'm a hero. That's what heroes do. But the whole time, the EMS zipper was down.
Oh, my God.
Like, we both noticed, but we couldn't nudge each other. So as soon as that guy left the room, we're like, oh, my God, did you see that his zipper was down? What children.
Yeah.
Did she start rallying as soon as it got there?
Once the EpiPen hit, it's like, whoosh.
So the hero really didn't need
to save your life.
Yeah. Firefighters or the
they told us to call 911 because we implemented an EpiPen, which I would have just not going forward in the future. I just won't call them.
Right. No, that's good.
What are the other three times?
Once we were down in this one's ridiculous. Down in San Antonio, and there was a big car accident like right in front of me.
Oh.
And so I don't know why I just decided to call 911 to let them know.
Really?
It happened right. I was the first person to do it.
Somebody's got to call.
How did you know you were the first person to do it?
Because there's no way. I had my phone in my hand like as it happened. I dialed 911 and I just went, first. Okay. And they went, yes, you are.
Firsties.
It's like calling shotgun.
It's like commenting on a YouTube video. First.
Okay, that's two.
The other time was there were really bad storms and there were electrical problems in Royal Oak. And is it a transformer that went off? I just happened to be up doing the morning show early, and one of them popped and started a big fire. So, I'll call 911 because there's a fire across the street.
Aren't you the helpful neighbor? Yeah,
right.
Another one was a long time ago. Was another car accident that I thought I was. I probably was first on that one as well. And
he was a witness.
I know,
an eyewitness.
But I kind of like Drew. I kind of want to get all the audio and hear how stupid I sound.
I know. I was immediately concerned about how I sounded more than I was concerned about Tess.
I know. I mean, it's out there.
Can you subpoena those records or get them under freedom of information?
I don't know why. I just had a feeling that we were going to be listening to it, that somebody from the station was going to, because I'd mentioned it. I did mention it that day that I called 911. I shouldn't have said that. Somebody's going to hold that. I'm going to sound ridiculous.
I love that Chappelle bit where he's like, oh, I shit my pants. 911.
Hey, Gary Byrne, we'll be talking to us in a minute. Gary Byrne wrote Crisis of Confidence. He's a Secret Service guy. This book's been number one forever.
Yeah.
And yet, do you ever see him on network television?
No.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah. He's the guy that wrote about Hillary.
Yeah.
Yeah, the go fuck yourself
guy. Yep.
Nice.
I just think this book is so fascinating. Especially, I like the Secret Service vantage point. They just tell the story a lot differently. They have a much different view.
Although
he's at 4 o'clock, right, Jay? Oh, you're calling him.
Although some of his former coworkers are denouncing the book.
Some of the former coworkers are denouncing the people denouncing
Suck
the book,
ups.
Too.
Okay.
Because they know she's coming back.
A couple people wanted to interview him, and he just turned them down, too, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, wow. Well,
we're interviewing him.
Man. Oh, I know.
That's pretty cool.
That's the first thing I want to know, is I want to know if he feels he was somehow...
blacklisted?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because early on, when the book... I just started reading about the book, and I heard that GMA and the Today Show were both threatened.
That, I believe, especially GMA.
With
Steffi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Steffi Stephanopoulos.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what she said to him in the day. Wow.
Oh, I'm sure she cornered him a time or two and poked her finger in his chest.
Yeah, I bet.
He's about this tall.
I know.
Hey, Gary, you there?
I am.
All right, man. So excited to talk to you. I'm really, really have enjoyed the book. I haven't finished it, but I've been wanting
Thank
to hear...
you.
I wanted to talk to you, and the first thing I wanted to ask you, we're just talking about this, why are you not on networks doing interviews for this book? It's been the number one book for months, it seems. Are you being blacklisted because you've dared to write about Hillary Clinton?
I am. Yes, the story is that everybody but Fox News pretty much blacklisted me.
Huh.
Although I have to give credit to the TV show Inside Edition.
Oh, yeah.
Thing on.
Mm-hmm.
They did a very good job. They were very fair about it.
Yes,
everybody else blacklisted me. And you know, the book stayed on the was number one on the New York Times bestseller list for 5 weeks. And it's still on the list. It's just not number one. So.
Huh. You know, I couldn't get over in reading the book. It's like even saying good morning to Hillary Clinton is complicated.
Absolutely.
She told one agent
you're better off just taking a swing at her, I think.
She really sounds like a terribly unpleasant person. You even talk about her as opposed to Bill, who, you know, Bill won't let you go if he's telling a story or something. He's just smiling, he's fun, he's just so there's just something so alluring about him. But Hillary right. just sounds like she's all work all the time, and it's just a very unpleasant kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I can't even say it's all work. It's just all hostility. You know what I mean? Because when you excuse her to try to do something, it ends up being a disaster. She's just, you know, that's kind of was part of the thrust of the book was, you know, she certainly doesn't show any signs of any kind of decent leadership. Mm. And that's certainly part of it.
Well, there's one specific point you make about the invitations that are being made, and they're just going absolutely ballistic. Her staff is because these invitations are screwed up, and it's not not because they need to get new invitations made. It's because who's going to tell Hillary?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. That's one of those things, I swear, it'll never leave my consciousness. Because I was struck. I actually remember saying to them, like, you know, aren't you guys from Arkansas? We came up with them, but we know how she is, you know, we know how she is attitude. And they were right. I mean, I'd already seen some of it. But after that, that's when a lot of the crazy stuff happened.
I remember when Vince Foster died, when he committed suicide, she was so distraught. And that was when there were rumors, she was having an affair with him, and then, you know, something's weird. Why is anyone, I mean, she was clearly the most distraught person. In fact, I think it's the only time, I think I remember, wasn't she crying openly at the, I mean.
Right, because she killed him.
Yeah, and in reading your book, and I've heard this before, she berated him in the ugliest way.
Yeah, she did. I'll be honest with you, I don't have any recollection of her being upset about his death. I mean, I'm not saying she wasn't. It's just that I don't remember that. All I ever focused on was her hostility towards people and towards him. And my thing was, I mean, I do remember, you know, when it happened, of course. And I actually did a little research. I read a few stories as I was writing the book to refresh my memory. One of the things I did remember was that how unhappy he was to be there. I say this in the book. The first time I saw Vince Foster, I am telling you, I have never, ever seen anybody that didn't want to be somewhere more than that guy didn't want to be there. Yeah. I mean, and the thing that always struck me was, if they were such good friends, they had to know he had issues with depression. And why would you put that kind of pressure on somebody?
Yeah, why would he ever come?
Right.
Why did
he? I mean, he was obviously, well, loyalty. He was loyal to her. And to them, and I don't know why.
Because of the relationship?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I heard those stories.
I mean, she is pretty sexy. It'd be hard to give that up.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the funny thing.
Said no one
back
ever.
Back in 1991, 1992, you know, when I first met them, when I first started protecting them, I thought she was attractive. I mean, before I knew what her personality was, she had a pretty face.
Gary, that statement right there hurts all credibility in your book more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, definitely kind of my perspective. You know, you're grasping at straws when you have to protect people, and you're trying to find good things. And she was all right for the first, I don't know, 2 weeks, and then the wheels fell completely off. Wow. The real Hillary Clinton came out. You know, you can't hide that long. So.
It can't hide that long.
Yeah, you know, this is weird, is the switch it on, switch it off thing between Bill and Hillary that you talk about, how when they're together and there's a donor in the room, or they're on 60 Minutes or something, you know, they hold hands, they have nice inside jokes, they look at each other longingly, and yet the minute the donor's gone or the camera's gone, they're about as cold a couple. I mean, you couldn't imagine what brought these two people together.
Yeah, she certainly is. I believe he has some kind of affection for her. I'm not sure what it is. but I mean, he's better.
Scared of her.
Better pretender, you know, a politician than she is. I mean, clearly he is. If she had his charisma, we wouldn't be having this discussion. She had been president back in 2008. The problem is,
or 92.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a whole other joke. But the problem is she doesn't have his charisma, and her personality is horrendous. Her real personality, I mean, everybody's pretty clear on it now. And I don't mean just because of my book, but, you know, if you watched her campaign, you know, for three or four times every couple months, they put out a message, well, you know, it's Hillary 2.0, 2.0, they're trying to make her look friendly. You got the wrong candidate. You know what I mean? Like, if that's your issue, you got the wrong person. And she's just so hostile all the time, which is one of the reasons I wrote my book, Place of Character. I wanted the American people to know the truth. If this is somebody, not only, I mean, it's clear if you use an open mind and you're honest with it, honest with yourself, it's clear that she's not a leader. I mean, just, you know, you can go all the way back to the early 1970s when she was hired to work on, to investigate President Richard Nixon by the Watergate investigation. She was fired by the lead Democrat for lying, and he said she was dishonest. He fired her back in the early 70s. Then you fast forward, she loses the election to Obama, she becomes Secretary of State, we have the Benghazi thing. If she was a leader, she would have stayed on there and looked the American people and the families of those lost that were killed there and said, this will never happen again on my watch or anybody else's. Here's the steps I'm taking to prevent this. But what she did was she lied. She said it was a video. She blamed other people, and then she went on the run for office. In the meantime, she's doing all this on a non-secured server and risking people's lives. And it's just unforgivable. I can't believe anybody's considering voting for it.
Hey, Gary, off Drew's last question, what's the most physical you've seen Bill and Hillary? I mean, just holding hands, or have you ever seen them, like, make out or Bill, like, pinch her butt or anything like that?
I honestly believe I don't think I've seen them hold hands, you know, when the cameras are on. I'll tell you a good kind of an interesting – if you go on to YouTube, you can find a video. It's a video of them getting off the helicopter. And it's the first time they got off the helicopter on the South Lawn together after she finds out that the Lewinsky thing is real. You know what I'm talking about?
Chelsea in between them?
Right.
Yeah. It's on the way to the helicopter, right?
She wanted to murder him right there in front of everybody.
I'm surprised she didn't.
Was it your job to jump between them then?
No, I was in the mansion. They ain't gotten to me yet. That ain't my problem. I was an inside guy that day.
We're laughing about it, but, you know, and I laughed when I read it in the book. You said, you know, there is the fact that Secret Service, in a way, you did have to protect him from her. Right. If she is indeed a threat to him, and at times she was, she threw a lamp at him. She threw a Bible at an agent, hit him in the back of the head. He woke up with a shiner one day. I mean, obviously, she was a physical threat to him in a way.
Yeah, she did. Well, there was a broken vase. You know, I don't know how it got broken, but I do know it was broken during an argument. And then he did. So the facts were, there was an argument. There was a broken vase. I saw it in the curator's office, and the next day, or the next time I saw him in the Oval Office, he did have a black eye that he was trying to conceal with makeup. So I can tell you the gardener didn't hit him. So,
well, Mrs. Heinrich's excuse for that was ridiculous, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the coffee allergy. But you know what? You know, she worked for him for a very long time. She was incredibly loyal to him.
And what does she get in return? He finished in her sink with Monica. Yeah. Remember, that's in the Star Report.
Yep, it is.
Oh, Lord.
By the way,
it's a fact.
I don't want to get into the women this soon, but I can't resist. You walked in on with I think a steward and with maybe a chef or something. You walked in on him making out with Eleanor Mondale, and you know, and then we kind of heard about Eleanor Mondale here and there, but I never knew anybody had actually seen him making out with Eleanor Mondale.
Right. So here's what happened. It was around Christmas time one year. And I was walking from the east side of the White House to the west side. And I was walking down the hallway. And right by where the elevators are, there's this room called the Map Room. It was very famous during the Second World War. Anyway, outside the Map Room, there's a uniform division officer post, and there's an agent post with the president and the resident. So I stopped to say hi, you know, we're BSing. And as we're talking, the steward walks up with a clean shirt for the president. And he opens up the Map Room door. Now, it's a really wide door. As he opens up, he's looking back at us because we're talking to him. And we're looking at him, past him, and in the room, there's President Clinton standing there face-to-face with Eleanor Mondale, making out like high school seniors. And the steward sees the look on our faces. He turns around and sees what we see. He gets all embarrassed. He's flustered. He closes the door and takes off down the hallway. And we just kind of stood there and looked at each other and said, you know, Merry Christmas. Walked to the White House. You know?
Oh my God!
You know, and of course, you know, a lot of the a lot of people that are bashing myself in my book are saying, well, you know, I could have never seen that. It is what I saw. It was part of my life. And I'm not, you know, I never said in the book or anywhere else they had an affair. But I did see that. You know, when it comes to defining relationships, Bill Clinton can go back and forth like a gym. So this is the guy that wanted to argue over, you know, what the definition of is. I don't know what the relationship was, but I saw that.
Well, so, a lot of the critics say it's because you didn't testify to that in the Kenneth Starr report.
Sure, sure. But, you know, it wasn't my job to tell them what to ask. I testified to everything they asked me about. I was honest. I didn't volunteer anything. I didn't want to lose my job. I didn't want to go to jail, and I didn't want to end up in a ditch in a one-car Arkansas suicide. So, I did what I was supposed to. But you know, there were a lot. That was actually one story. You're right. That you know, they didn't ask me about. They asked me, did I ever hear a story about Eleanor Mondale in the movie theater? And I did hear a rumor about that. But they never turned to me and said, you know, what about the map room? So it wasn't my job to buy. Look, I didn't want to give this guy any more damage than what he was giving himself.
He didn't need your help. No. He didn't need your help doing that.
The book's called Crisis of Confidence. The author is Gary Byrne. You talked to a number of, there's a number of people you mentioned in the book that walked in on Bill with Monica. How many people actually saw him with Monica in some kind of compromising position?
Well, you know, I'm not really sure how many, let's see. There's probably, well, the one particular one is this one officer that worked the post one time when I was off, and it happened to him. And then, of course, the story that I tell where she came in there. Now, I didn't actually see them engaged in anything, but I saw the aftermath.
Towel.
Wait, but yeah, that towel. Gary, you said that the lipstick on that towel was not Monica's. So, I mean, that sort of led to me thinking, wait, there's a third chick already in this book, or maybe even more, right?
Right. Right. There was three that I ended up testifying about. And so there was different stories that came, kind of like the Eleanor Mondale thing, whether it was the movie theater or the map room. There was tissues and there was towel. So they kept asking me about tissues. They wanted me to describe the size of the box of tissues. How many tissues did I think were in the box? Was it a tall one? Was it a flat box? Were they, you know, were they Kleenexes? And then, you know, basically while they were asking me that, there was other information, another story, but it was hand towels. And, you know, that date that they were talking about, we were talking about tissues. So anyway, there was lipstick. There was you know, a man's fluid on the hand towel. And that's what
I was kind of have a hot dog.
Oh, man. Hey, it's what happened. I mean, we want people to tell the truth, and he's telling us the story as best he knows it, allegedly, in Crisis of Confidence.
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to point out, actually, the reason I wrote my book, Crisis of Character, is because,
Crisis of Character.
You know, the way I got here was,
I called myself an ass because I've been calling Crisis of Confidence. Crisis of Character.
That's all right. No, that's okay.
What a jackass. Tell everybody you talked to. Yeah, I just talked to some guy. Just called it Crisis of Confidence three times.
All right. Nobody's perfect.
I'm sorry, Gary.
That's all right. Unfortunately, I have the unwanted claim that I'm the first employee that was in the Secret Service to ever be compelled to testify against the sitting president in a criminal case. And, of course, that was the Monica Lewinsky case. And I was actually subpoenaed six times. And then eventually ordered to testify for the Supreme Court Justice, frankly. Not something that I ever wanted on my resume. But those are the facts. And, you know, when you hear people say, oh, I could have never seen that. You know what? I wish they were around when the subpoenas applied. And they could have gone and testified instead of me. And the truth is, the Secret Service worked out this deal with the high-ups. And back then, the Secret Service was part of the Treasury. The senior people on the president's detail and the higher levels of the Secret Service, they knew what Ken Starr wanted, but they didn't want to have to testify themselves and ruin their careers. So they pushed the Uniform Division guys forward. Uniform Division guys, some junior agents, and one senior agent that wasn't even there when it took place. So, you know, before people start, you know, accusing me of making stuff up or you know, you shouldn't talk about these things, let's think about how I got there. You know, this wasn't my dealing. This was somebody else's behavior. And those guys pushed us forward to testify. And I waited almost 19 years to tell my side.
One thing about the book that I wanted to mention, because it was something that came up a long time ago, but I thought it was always interesting, and to this day, is the fact that the Clintons liked using not just Secret Service, but the IRS and the FBI, almost like their own investigative service. And of course, there were the 900 illegal files, the seven people with the travel agency who were, you know, investigated up and down because she wanted her Arkansas buddies in there. But that's really kind of scary to me.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're going to see if she gets elected again. That's just the way they are. They're like a criminal element. They don't care what the law is. And this is one of the things that cracks me up about her and her husband, President Bill Clinton, is they want these big government programs, but they don't want to follow the rules and regulations of any government program in particular. You know, they want everybody else to do all this crap, but they treat themselves. There's two standards. There's the standard for the Clintons, and then there's the law for everybody else. And, this gentleman used to work for he was the FBI agent's liaison to the White House complex. His name was Gary Aldrich. Now, I wasn't good buddies with him, but I remember him. And when his book came out, I looked at it. I read it. Everything I saw in there was right on spot. I remember talking to him. We actually exchanged horror stories, you know, one time when he was giving some friends a tour outside the old office when I worked there. And because I had talked to him before, and I had heard these stories about, and he basically said to me one day that the Clintons and this person that worked for him, Craig Livingston, thought the FBI was just a private investigation service. And when he tried to explain it to them, they would just, in one case, they actually went over his head, called the FBI headquarters, and got what they wanted anyway.
Oh, jeez.
You know, so they will take advantage, and they will use legitimate government agencies to crush their enemy.
Crooked
and they
Hillary.
Think everybody is their enemy.
Well, just like the bimbo eruptions, you know, they had the list of all the women who could possibly come forward, and they trashed those people. They did whatever they could, slut-shamed them, whatever they had to do. Just make them go away.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you know, here's the thing. You know, I remember when this was becoming very clear to me that, you know, how bizarre it was. One of the sexual scandals from Arkansas, you know, the woman, I forget what her name was right now, but somebody in the Clinton administration said, well, that's what you get when you drag a $100 bill through a trailer park. Okay, who was on the other end?
God.
Who was on the other end of the $100 bill? Bill Clinton. You know what I mean? Like, why does he get a pass? I mean, if you know, I'm sure you remember the story about Kathleen Willett. Mm-hmm. She was a White House employee who accused him of molesting her in the Oval Office. Now, here's the thing. If you took that same story, and it wasn't Kathleen Willett, it was somebody you know. It was that lady next door, that woman that works out at the front desk in your office, and she brought you a picture of somebody and told you that story with that same emotion that she did. You would take her to the police station. They would investigate it, and they would pursue it. But because it's Bill Clinton, you know, Mr. Huckabuck from Arkansas, he gets a pass.
Or because he's the president.
And again, it's two sets of standards.
Sure.
Yeah, it's all about the greater good, I guess, right? Or the way they see it, it's all about the greater good. And these are just little people kind of getting in the way.
Gary, speaking of President Clinton, can you explain to the listeners what the jogging club was? That's a fun little story.
Yeah, that was really funny. The jogging list was actually a legitimate thing. When he first got there and he used to go jogging, he would jog outside and it was very cumbersome for the Secret Service and unsafe. You know, not so much cumbersome, but
it was a shit show.
It was crazy. And after a while, women started showing up and waiting at the gate. They'd try to go out the other gate. They would run around the other side. And so eventually they just kind of gave in. Not gave in, but they started taking people's names and running their names. And it became the jogging list. And if that same person showed up, the agents had already run an NCIC check on her and looked into her background. And sometimes it was guys, you know, it wasn't always women. But when, you know, with the women thing, you could just read the writing on the wall. These women would show up, and they were in jogging clothes, but they looked like they were going to the jogging nightclub. You know, and
a lot of skin.
A jogging nightclub, I love it.
A lot of skin, right?
You know, some skin. They were just good-looking women, and they were dressed kind of soft, you know. And so anyway, one day, you know, after about a year or so, when he finally got this jogging track on the South Lawn, and he started jogging inside the fence perimeter, I was talking to an agent, and I said, yeah, you know, you don't have to worry about the jogging list. He looked at me like I was crazy. He goes, oh, there's still a jogging list. And I'm like, why would we do that? And he goes, Gary, that turned into his dating list. Like, that's he used that list to meet women. And I'm like, I didn't know that. I mean, you know.
Well, Gary, your first clue should have been that Monica was on there, because there's no way she's jogging anywhere.
Okay. No. I'm going to skip that.
What a story. That's amazing. We could talk for hours. Unfortunately, we don't have hours, but I really, I've enjoyed the book, and I really want to read the rest of it. Crisis of Character. Gary Byrne, good luck with it. And again, sorry about calling it Crisis of Confidence. Three times.
Oh, that's fine. Listen, thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
See you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Great stuff.
I wonder... in the book, Drew, did the girls at the gate ever have short hair and want Hillary to come to the fence?
I never read that part of it, but Hillary jogged too. Hillary,
really?
Yeah, she did. And it's funny because both of them just had no sense of protocol. And I don't know if this is early in the White House years or the whole time, but you know, they would just suddenly decide they want to go jogging. And these guys, these Secret Service guys, would be observing Bill as early as they could. Is he in a suit or is he in, you know, something less formal? Because that means he's probably jogging. They couldn't just ask him or he couldn't just schedule it. He would just decide, I want to jog. And next thing you know, he's off in his sweats, you know, and here he goes. And
people
are
hustling. Part of being president, man.
Yeah. I just don't think, you know, not that George Bush is perfect by any means, but I think Bush probably, you know, didn't he have a fairly scheduled jog? I mean, I don't ever remember people chasing him down to catch up to him, because they literally chased Bill and Hillary both down to catch up with him when they went off jogging.
Wow.
And Bill went different routes all the time, too. They're like, you know, could we just go the same route? Oh, I like to mix it up.
I kind of thought it was like in the Saturday Night skit where there were agents
stops
around
at McDonald's.
The whole time. Yeah, he stops at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Warlords. Sure. The warlords. Stealing all the food.
Wow. What a crazy, crazy effing 8 years. Hey, yeah. Are we going to get to talk to the Woodstock chick?
Yeah, she's her call at,
Really?
Yeah.
The girl on the cover?
The girl on the back cover of the Woodstock album. You
wow.
know, that's a gray album.
Yeah.
She's in a blanket standing there with this dude, and they're, like, really super young. And
now she's super old.
But she's very poised and sweet. And so, yeah, I got
it. It's really funny.
Number.
Well, yeah, the Woodstock anniversary is coming. It's right now, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it started on your birthday, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
16th uh-huh. through the 19th or
yeah.
18th?
Yeah. And tomorrow, I think, would have been the
there
last day.
There
she is, right yeah. there. Oh, it's on the front cover.
She's got glasses just like you, Trudy.
What's her name?
See, they're in again. It's Bobby Kelly, but she has you know, a married name.
Wow.
Check her out. Yeah. I went to her Facebook site. She has two other people as her photo. So
is she still, like, the partier that she obviously was when she went to Woodstock?
We'll have to ask her. She's very, like, cool and civic minded, though.
Okay.
You know, when
that
we
fits.
Went, the they since built the Performing Arts Center there where Woodstock was.
The old Woodstock site?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I guess it's just incredible. I've heard a lot of things about it, but she's, you know, a docent there and all kinds of stuff. So she's still there. She never left.
She's in upstate New York.
Yeah.
I wonder if she lived there at the time, or did she come from somewhere else?
I think she was from Rochester.
That's funny. I can't read enough about Woodstock. I find it. I mean, every story is like where they decided to abandon their car, how far they had to walk. You know how they because people, a lot of people were concerned or struggling to find stuff to eat.
Yeah.
Because there weren't enough stands with food. Yeah. And I remember, of course, Wavy Gravy's announcement that if you don't mind capitalism, there's a guy with a hamburger stand. And the local townspeople went wild making sandwiches and stuff to sell to people because, I mean, they just didn't make enough plans for that many people.
Well, what was it supposed to be for 50,000 people? And it turned out to be 400,000, half a million people showed up.
I can't
just trampled down the gates.
I want to say they were thinking 150 or 100 maybe, because 50 doesn't seem like because they paid a lot of money. I mean, they paid those artists. They had so many artists.
Yeah.
And, like, Hendrix was the highest paid, and I think he was paid $25,000.
I had the list earlier, yeah. You know what? Santana only got, like, $750?
$750?
Like $750?
What?
He didn't pay for his...
Do you have the list there? I'd love to hear that.
Look at it, yeah.
I know The Who had a deal, like, The Who were one of the higher paid. But Hendrix was clearly the big one. He played for hardly anybody, though.
I know. Yeah, he was there. Like, he woke people up that morning. Can you imagine sleeping in a field and then dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I don't think there were more than 50,000 people there, if that, at that point. Everyone had left.
Yeah. Was he, you're saying, though, he was the big name even then?
Hendrix was the highest paid at Woodstock with 18,000.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Why would he have played so early then if he was the headliner?
Well, because he was the last, because he was the headliner and everything ran
late. Oh, they're so far behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he could have played the middle of the night.
They can't reorder.
Yeah, I know. That's bad concert management, isn't
that stupid?
I'm shocked that it was disorganized.
Yeah.
Listen, okay. Jay's got the list here.
Yeah.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears made $15,000.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
Second highest paid.
This list is absurd, too, because when you saw who went on to be really talented and what they got.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young got $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Joan Baez made 10. CCR made 10. The Band made 7,500. Janis Joplin, 7,500. Airplane, 7,500. Sly and the Family Stone, $7,000.
Oh, I bet that was a kick-ass one.
Canned Heat, 6,500. The Who only 6,200. What? Oh, my God. Richie Havens, $6,000. He was overpaid.
So, what did Canned Heat have beside that one song?
Where your dogs going up the country. they had one other song.
Really?
What was that song?
No one knows. Nobody cares.
It's the second Canned Heat hit. Oh, damn it. I know you know it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On the road again?
On the road again. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
On the road again.
All right. Okay.
Country Cocker. Country Joe and the Fish made $2,500.
Really?
The Dead made $2,500. Eh? The Incredible String Band made $2,500.
What? Shauna Na was there. That seemed so really not appropriate.
What did they get paid? They played before.
$700.
They played before Hendrix.
Yeah, they did.
What?
They played to a bigger crowd than Hendrix.
They always put me off because I hated that like 50s bopper stuff.
I hated it too. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't believe it, but nostalgia, they hit the nostalgia thing for the 50s.
Oh, those people on acid just must have been freaking.
Joe Cocker, 1,375. Oh, my God. What a ripoff.
Yeah. Well, Country Joe.
2,500. Crazy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, it'll be funny to hear what she's up to. Does she have a book or anything?
I don't know. I just had a couple of minutes with her on the phone, so we'll just find all that out. But
yeah.
She goes there every year, I guess, and she says people call every year. I had no idea, but yeah.
I'm trying to think of who was the album cover person. Oh, I know. We're trying to get a hold of the kid that's underwater on the Nirvana cover.
Oh, yeah.
He's like 22 now.
Right.
And he's all pissy. He doesn't want to talk to people.
He has, though, since then.
Because we've seen his penis?
I mean, it's funny.
Probably.
It's funny you brought that up. I was just talking about him the other day because I have the Rolling Stone, the 90s. And so Kurt's on the front of it, but inside is the Nevermind. Charlotte loves that photo because it's a baby.
Really?
Of course.
Dicks out. It's kind of weird that she likes this nude baby swimming.
Well, these are not repressing her.
So Julie and I were like, hey, whatever happened to that kid? And he gave a full interview and he used it, of course, to pick up chicks. Because it was a big conversation starter. But he was an artist. His parents knew the photographer, and that's how they got that gig, because the guy that took the picture was friends with his dad. And he's like, hey, you want to make $200 throwing your baby in a pool tomorrow? And he's like, sure.
How exactly do you wedge that into conversation, though?
You have friends bring it up. That's how he did it. His friends would be like, hey, that's the guy in the Nirvana cover.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, brother.
I know.
Nice technique.
Wow.
Wow. And Elvis, I missed Elvis Day.
Yeah, he's still dead.
But recapping...
Hey, what was the story about racial profiling at Graceland?
Oh, yeah. ABC had a story.
I mean, isn't everybody just white?
Yeah, pretty much.
Apparently not. Some guy who lived around there and went every year for 5 years or something like that, and he's black, and he shows up this year, and they don't let him in. And they're like, well, were you here protesting? Because they thought maybe there was something going on that would have triggered this.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, no, but I am now. Because
he
feels like, and then ABC even conceded that it looked pretty white in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hugely white. Because I was there, and I don't remember any black people. It's funny, because I remember thinking that, Mary Jenkins, well, you know, he had black people working for him.
Right.
But I just don't remember seeing anyone. It was all, like, fat fat people in their 50s when I was there. It was in the 90s.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were obviously, you know, older Elvis fans, and they came, it seemed like they came every year, but I just don't, you know, Elvis really stole black music.
Yeah.
I don't know how, I don't remember hearing, can you think of any huge black acts that refer to Elvis as being their
influence? I don't know. With retrospect, I don't really think, it would be weird if he had black fans.
And now I'm thinking back on watching, like, the concerts. Like the comeback one
in Hawaii.
Yeah, there was like no black people.
No women with giant glasses.
Yeah, I just can't even think of a black Elvis fan or why a black person would be an Elvis fan.
Is there a black Elvis?
Like Little Richard or, or somebody, the real Elvis. I mean, the stealing, that's when the ripoff of black music was by far the worst. Because,
well, Hound Dog, all of them were black songs originally. He just recut them.
I think a lot of Little Richard songs were done and were R&B hits, and then Pat Boone or somebody would redo them, and they'd be gigantic hits on the pop charts. I mean, he would make tons of money.
And people probably thought he was so talented.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And then he put his dick in a shoebox.
I know, that's just the weirdest thing.
Come on, that's not the first thing you think of with Pat Boone now?
No, I don't remember that story.
Drew will tell it.
It was Bob Guccione. Wasn't it Guccione that got a hold of the picture?
I thought it was Hustler.
That's Guccione, isn't it? Or is that
no? It's Larry.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's more his thing. Anyway.
Penthouse.
Larry Flint. Yeah, Larry Flint. Larry Flint got a hold of
Larry.
Somehow somebody offered him that picture for some money, and of course he'll buy anything like that. And he still will. He printed it in Hustler, and it's Pat Boone, and he's sticking his dick through a hole in a box. It's just the weirdest picture. I don't even remember. I think Pat Boone has told the story, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he said, yeah, that's me. It's my dick.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if he explained why he was doing it.
There you go, Trudy.
Shadow box thing? Or?
There you go.
Oh, my God.
He's the original dick in a box. It was Hustler, by the way.
Whoa. He is. Oh, my God.
He's the original dick in a box guy.
He is.
That's hilarious.
That's probably where they got the idea, right?
Except the box isn't complete, so it's not quite the gift.
Well, it's post-opening it, really.
Yeah, true.
He looks like he's so excited about it being in there and kind of in its own little habitat.
It looks so absolutely idiotic. Oh, my God.
This is the face he's making.
What is the idea of putting that in things besides what it's usually put in?
It's biological.
Like, come on.
Just trick, you know, like,
you know what Clark used to always
look
say?
Like in this.
There's a hole, something's going in it.
Yeah. A goes into B.
So true.
Yeah, what are those pictures, Jay? Is that Pat Boone in the shower?
Where else is he putting his junk?
Those are the most bizarre pictures.
Pat Boone's just putting his penis in anything.
That is just so. Why did he do that? And why did someone? I mean, why would he let someone? I don't know. Whatever. Huh. All I can think of when I think of Pat Boone is when Rock Hudson was dying. Pat and Shirley Boone, his wife, were like speaking in tongues at his deathbed.
What?
They were some of the only people that were allowed to see Rock Hudson.
Oh.
And knew what was wrong with him.
I feel bad for Rock. I feel worse for Rock now.
I felt so bad for Rock Hudson. Because people didn't even think about that. They're just like, oh my God, Rock Hudson's gay? He's gay, really?
I know.
They didn't really think about what a horrible thing this poor guy was going through. I mean, because it was such a stigma at the time. Although, I don't know, I kind of felt like there's a little, just a little bit of karma there. Not that I would want karma to hit somebody in that way, but the fact that they'd given up that other actor in the 50s when Confidential came to his agent and said, we hear Rock Hudson's gay. And they said, well, we know somebody even bigger who's gay. Will you do a story on him? And they did.
Huh.
And Rock was spared.
Really?
Do you know who that other actor was?
It's not. Like, I know it's
Gig
known.
Young or something? Or
no, not Gig. Gig was a weird guy. He shot himself and his wife, didn't he? Didn't he kill himself and his wife?
Did he?
Yeah, I think
he
so.
Did a Hartman? A reverse Hartman?
Yeah.
Reverse Hartman.
Oh, man. You know, Rock Hudson, whenever I see watermelon, I think of him, too, because of the watermelon diet. That's what he was on and supposedly losing weight.
Oh, that was his excuse for losing
prior
weight?
Prior to the fact that they could not deny that he was ill anymore. Yeah, the watermelon diet.
Well, what was the infamous picture of Rock Hudson when the world went, what's wrong with Rock Hudson?
With
Doris Day?
Oh, right, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
They were reunited after all these years.
She was the first beard, wasn't she?
Yeah, I guess she probably was. But I just know they were in all those movies, and, yeah. and they were such innocent, you know, such wonderful of a day gone by.
Right.
But they were. It was some charity thing she was doing, and Rock was like such a good guy. I guess he wouldn't miss this, even though he knew, you know, he didn't feel like he was well. He didn't yeah. feel good. He didn't look good, and he did his best to try and look presentable. And right. everyone just said, "What's wrong with him?
Yeah.
Holy shit!" Yeah. God, isn't that terrible when that happens?
Yeah, I know.
I think of Walter Payton.
Right.
Yep.
Appeared publicly in Chicago, and that was all anyone said was, oh, my God, he's so thin.
You know, thank God, though, that he decided he needed to come out at the end anyway, because wasn't that the beginning of AIDS awareness in this country?
Yeah, it was. No, it was huge.
Yeah.
And Liberace, too, not yeah. too terribly long after that. I'm trying to think, who were there was a few other, were there some other big celebrity AIDS people? AIDS people.
Sorry. Rock was the biggest, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By a mile. Although Libby was big.
Oh, yeah.
When did he die?
Rock or Libby?
Libby.
I want to say like 88, 89.
When did Freddie Mercury die?
Same around the same time, 91, 92. Yeah, that was a big one. That was huge. And Freddie Mercury, I'm just blown away that he never, that he waited till his deathbed. Wouldn't you thought he would have said something sooner?
Well, I think his fans would have been forgiving.
Oh, absolutely.
I think most of his fans would have gone, well, of course.
I think people knew. That's yeah. why it seems so yeah. strange.
Well, of Except course, me. Freddie.
I had no gaydar.
Oh, you didn't have it? You didn't know about Freddie?
No, really? not an ounce.
It's really weird. I didn't either. And now I look at like pictures and I go, what was that? Was I stupid?
And the band's name was Queen, for God's sake.
But the outfits you wore on stage? Yes, holy shit. How stupid was I?
He did silk.
Remember me telling you that I watched the Palladium Head, a Queen concert on, and I watched in the beginning, he comes on, this is the biggest costume, furs everywhere, and then I realized by the end of it, all he has on are the tightest, smallest white shorts.
Yeah.
He had to, it was just the most elongating strip tease ever because he just took off an article of clothing after each song. Next thing you know, he's nude at the end of the song. You don't even realize that it was so slow.
Was it a good show, though? I mean, that was,
if you like Queen, yeah.
I thought Queen, I love them. Queen's yeah, Live Aid show was fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. that was the show that day, wasn't it, really?
For Live Aid?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the big one. So whenever, well, or that or... See, I always confuse them all. Who was the one that went, that performed in England?
Led Zeppelin.
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins. Phil Collins.
With Zeppelin and played
That's right.
himself. I
yeah.
know. How, that
Philadelphia, was
so
was it? Yeah.
They made such a big deal out, too. Like, as if they couldn't have gone on if he hadn't taken the Concorde.
How would we finish this concert without Phil Collins? That was the big gimmicky thing, though,
that was
from that show.
The biggest waste of energy from that Concorde. He was so unneeded.
Isn't it about time to have another super worldwide concert like that?
Yeah, it is.
Ah. Hey, wait, Live 8. Remember Live 8 was maybe, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
That was great. That was really good.
I thought so.
I got to say something about Phil Collins. Why didn't he just play with Zeppelin played in England, right?
Yeah, why didn't he just stay in England?
Just stay there and do a set there?
It's not gimmicky enough. You have to take the Concorde over.
Why didn't it? I mean, I just am thinking, why didn't I say something about that at the time? Why would anyone think he had to fly over to play in Philadelphia? Why was that necessary?
It was dumb. It really was. But it was so amazing. One of the first transcontinental performances at the same time.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And Zeppelin, I remember at the time thinking how bad Zeppelin sounded. Did you feel that way?
Yeah. I
thought they sounded awful.
We're having kind of a bad day.
Just, yeah. I don't know, they just hadn't played in a long time. They obviously hadn't rehearsed that much. And I know they rehearsed like hell for that O2 show.
Yeah.
And I heard they sounded really good. And, I've never really heard that show. It's funny because I'm a fan of them. Why have I never listened to that? Have you listened to it?
No.
Have you, Mark?
I'm sorry, I was dealing with something technical.
Zeppelin O2 show, is it a problem?
Of course.
No, internet's down in your house.
Oh,
I don't
shit.
Know why. Hard and wired. What show? Zeppelin?
Yeah, have you heard
Paul Rogers?
The O2 show, the Zeppelin reunited in 2005 or whatever it was.
Is that the one they put out on DVD?
I think it is on.
Yeah, is that?
I think it's on DVD, like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
yeah,
that one's really good.
I've never seen the whole show.
Huh?
I don't know why.
Huh?
Time to get it.
You probably have it on one of your DVDs somewhere.
Can you see if that's on YouTube?
Yeah, if the internet worked.
The Zeppelin reunited.
Yeah, when the internet.
Oh, yeah.
They're remastering it?
God, stupid. Jesus.
Come on, Jay.
Okay, who has read about Blake Shelton's racist tweets?
I've heard a little bit about it. I really don't like him a lot, though.
It's funny.
Because he's a monstrous person who's in an underwear commercial, and they make all this innuendo about a, you know, giant dick or
oh,
something.
Oh, they do? Really?
Oh, and some little lady's like, oh, he's a big one.
Oh.
It's like,
I've watched The Voice really since it started,
yeah.
And he came across so well on that show.
Eh,
I mean, he's
yeah.
a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy. He's a country guy. And also, he seems to expand musically, like they'll do songs that I wouldn't expect him to play on or sing on. And I'm like, oh, he's talented. He's cool. I like this guy. I read these tweets this morning, and it was like, wow, I'm just, like, I expect...
blown away?
Yeah, I was really blown away. I'm expecting Gwen to break up with him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I wonder, does she know about this? What's he telling? What would you tell her? I mean, if she's your girlfriend, because I'm sure she'll be appalled.
Of course. Like Christy Brinkley was when John Mellencamp went all redneck on her.
I didn't see these.
What did Mellencamp do? How did he go all redneck on her?
She's, you know, the tabloids ventured this out there that he was just, you know, being Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and talking about things that made it seem as though he supported Trump.
Mellencamp?
Yeah.
I thought he was like the farthest left guy ever.
Think, no, although working white man.
There's a rumor that they split up over politics.
Yeah.
That was a big story the other day. And I was like, why would they split over politics? Seems like they'd be on the same page. Yeah.
He always makes me think of my favorite dumb joke ever. You ready?
Yeah.
And I know how much you love jokes.
Oh.
This is one we used to always tell when we were kids.
Cougar's Melon Camp?
Yeah, where all the baby watermelons go in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
John Cougar's Melon.
What?
Remember? Trudy actually laughed for real.
Tell Charlotte. She won't get it. She won't get it.
She'll tell me to go get diarrhea again.
Oh. So.
Anyway, the Blake Shelton tweets are really.
Yeah, I haven't seen these.
They're pretty pretty brutal.
What happened? Like, what's the background story on this?
Somebody just went back and looked at his tweets in 2011.
Oh.
Yeah.
And there's some really racist stuff in there. Huh. I mean, and it's real kind of angry racist kind of stuff.
About what? Like, what happened in 2011 that set him off?
That's the weird thing is that they come out of nowhere. Can you look them up, Jay?
They come out of, that's even worse when racism comes out of nowhere.
I mean, like he made it happen. It wasn't like he was commenting on something. There's one, for example, where he says, This one's really bad. It's like
I love that you have to paraphrase.
Would somebody tell the towel head in the room next to me to either keep it down or tell us what the next thing he's going to bomb is?
What?
Yeah. Or maybe it's raghead. I don't know what it is. They don't tell you what precedes head.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, and I thought that's a guy looking to say something racist. Oh,
yeah.
True. This one's aimed at you, kind of.
Oh, bring it.
Grown men who wear Chuck Taylors may as well write on their forehead, "Cucumbers turn me on," a gay reference.
Yeah, there's a lot of gay stuff. There's a bunch of other gay-oriented. God, what?
Is this your gay if you wear Chuck Taylors?
That's bullshit. Gay people don't wear Chuck Taylors. That's not nearly stylish
enough.
They
better take some shoes.
I'm jumping right
into
it. They
do, but so do straight people. I mean, everybody wears Chucks, don't they?
Right, yeah.
Chucks are making a comeback, by the way.
Are they?
Again.
Because Nike bought them, and they put their soles in them, so they're comfortable again.
That's the problem with Chuck Taylors. They never had any support. That was always
now,
a problem.
Now they have the Nike Air soles, so you can buy a pair again.
Oh, man, I'm psyched. I can wear Chuck Taylors again. I'm
exactly.
So pumped.
It's cool.
Spielman will be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. He seemed like he wanted to really rag on gay people, too. Yeah. That was the other thing.
What? Blake!
I don't know do we have any of them up?
I'm sure that didn't really hurt his commercial success at all.
No.
I don't know how many homosexual fans Blake Shelton really had.
I'm wondering if he was working his demo.
I'm telling everyone to bring
pandering?
Up the Blake Shelton team. For the 19th time, the internet's down.
Drew! Mom!
With me.
Mom, the internet's down!
I know.
Mama Hink Dog.
We should be yelling at Mom. I mean...
Do you see, by the way, who is the new judge? For The Voice that starts Sunday after the Olympics?
I did read this. I just don't remember.
You haven't seen the promos during the Olympics?
No, I've been watching the Olympics much.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yeah. What a mistake that is.
Oh, I think it's a huge mistake. People that watch that show, I don't want to hear her.
I think she's going to be horrible. I think she'll be horrible.
Absolutely will be. And Alicia Keys is the other new one, too, which I think those two would
wait.
Be.
She's been a coach on there before. Actually, I think
coach or judge, isn't that the same thing?
No. The judges in the four chairs, I mean, they get a lot of airtime.
Oh, okay. Well, she's a judge
then. Miley's a judge, yeah.
So is Alicia Keys.
Well, that's interesting. Although, you know, they made Christina Aguilera. She came off okay, generally, and she's supposed to be kind of a beast.
Yeah.
The power of editing, you know.
Yeah, I guess. It's just Miley's so, tiresome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just annoying. I never found Christina Aguilera annoying. Maybe bitchy, maybe slutty, but never annoying.
She came across pretty well. I really didn't mind
on that show. She came across great.
Yeah, she did.
I just meant in general. I can't see Miley coming across very well.
I'm amazed at some of these people who stay in the world of stardom for the length of time. They're like, we talked about this, Bieber, and of course, Britney Spears. I could not believe she was a star that long.
And she's going to be back on the VMAs.
Oh, I saw that.
She
the 28th.
Is?
Yeah, the first appearance since.
Oh, it's her show, though, right?
Yeah.
To
do what? She going to dance wildly for us?
She's going to stagger around on stage?
Trudy, I got that reference. I so wish we had cameras there. I forgot about that. The last time she was on the VMAs, she just kind of walked slowly around like a zombie. I plodded around like a zombie. You just did it very quickly, and I knew what you were talking about. It's really funny.
Yeah, she was so stoked.
Out of it.
My God, but she baked.
Just out
I just
of it.
Never... Okay, her voice is...
Terrible.
And her music is...
Bad. Her music, I thought, was like, okay, somebody wrote a couple good songs for her, probably, somewhere along the line. But
she's
it certainly
hot.
Wasn't anything in 20 years I'm going to go, oh, God, I want to hear those Britney Spears songs I loved. I mean, it just seems so disposable. And I never thought she was that hot. I think she's good looking.
I think she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Well, some people think she's way hot. I just
Britney
don't
Spears?
I don't think she's...
She looks better now
Miley.
Than she was.
Miley?
Yeah, no, Miley
looks like, hot
Miley,
either.
Miley looks like two toothpicks stuck into a banana.
Britney Spears
the widest
is like
taint.
She looks like she's a good looking.
You never knew that? True, you didn't know that.
What?
That Miley Cyrus has the widest taint in human history.
Well, it's not well known.
Is there a taint?
Not well known.
You fully said it 3,000 times.
Is there a taint width chart?
Yeah, I swear to God, True. Next time you look at it, you'll be like,
99th
percentile? You'll be like, well, that taint really is
next
wide.
Time I'm looking at taints.
Think of like a banana and then you stick like two toothpicks in it and there's that wide space in between. It's weird.
Well, wow. That's
it's
heavy.
Bizarre.
Processing that.
The width is greater than the length of her taint.
Well, wow.
Okay.
That is cosmic. Oh my God.
We've stumbled onto the Blake Shelton tweets.
Okay.
Oh, the internet's back.
Yep. Wish a dickhead the next room either shut up or learn some English so I can at least know what he's planning to bomb.
Good answer.
Oh, dickhead. I assumed it was towelhead or raghead. It was dickhead.
You added more racist
yeah,
to
you
it.
Made it more, yeah.
That's nice. I was 19 years old. My heart first got broken. I'm over it now, but I wonder what that fat, ugly bitch is up to. Is that really that bad?
No.
Wow.
Standing in line at a coffee shop in L.A., talking with a man in front of me. He was a skinny caramel latte. I couldn't tell he was gay.
Wow, is that homophobic? I mean, he couldn't tell.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't see
gay. He ordered a skinny caramel latte. He's gay.
Oh, that made him gay. Oh, okay. I just thought he couldn't tell by looking at
Wait,
it.
Are those the worst? Those are the only? Are we talking about three tweets?
That's all that's on here.
Huh. He's a massive apology.
That's a little bit brutal if it's just three tweets. You've got to be kidding me. There's got to be more than that. I mean, because honestly.
Well, you mentioned the cucumbers one.
Right.
Question for all my gay followers: what Skittles y'all are Skittles y'all favorite candy?
What?
Oh, because it's a rainbow.
Oh, how Oof. Clever! Whoa. Well, wow. Gwen has her hands full.
Hey, who went back and decided to look at his tweets for no reason?
I don't know. It's like Connor Cook's dad.
Well, no. Who was the other one we were talking about recently, too?
Oh, that Miss.
Oh, Miss Teen USA. Yeah. Someone decided to go back and look at her tweets and bust her.
You know what? That was that. It was a black leader. It was a black dude who's. God, I can't remember what organization he's from, but he was annoyed because there weren't any black girls in the finals. There were five blonde white girls,
and they looked
and he was
exactly
pissed
alike.
About that. Yeah. And I think that's what. Inspired him to look back at her Twitter, which is really weird. Isn't
you
want to
hear some more Blake Shelton?
Yeah, please. Bring it.
Let's see.
Bring it on.
You haven't noticed Richard Simmons is gay. You haven't noticed Katy Perry. If you haven't noticed Richard Simmons is gay, you haven't noticed Katy Perry's boobs.
God, he's...
What?
Well, maybe they...
Okay.
I'm not gay, but I think Ellen is hot. Wait a minute. What?
Well, somebody needs to take over his... Twitter account.
Dear Stan Thinkin by Blake Shelton. How can I be attracted to lesbians? I'm not gay.
Well, that's really
pretty,
preoccupied
that's pretty
with
deep
gay.
There, Blake.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a few really strange ones. Yeah. Jay just brought over here.
Oh. Can I ask a really dumb question? Was he super famous in 09 and 10?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
Was he really up on the country charts back then? Or
I have no idea.
This is 13. This is news tweets? These are? This is 13 minutes ago.
Really? Is he saying he's sorry?
When it comes to gay, lesbian, rats, or just feelings, I love everybody. So go look for a real villain and leave me out of it.
Oh, yeah. He's on the apology tour.
17 minutes ago. It honestly wasn't even meant that way. I now know that there are people out there waiting to jump at everything I say on here or anywhere.
Here's another one from 09. I think the bartender last night put some of that date rape drug in my drink. OMG, he was like so cute too.
Wow, he really is fascinated with gay lifestyle.
Nothing says happy 4th of July like an airport shuttle bus driver that can't speak a fucking word of English. To the terminal, Omar. That's Blake Shelton on July 4th, 2010.
Maybe that's the most racist one. Except the guy in the room next to me.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I don't know. You can
unless his name is really Omar.
You can complain about people not speaking English.
Well, but his name has to be Omar. That to not be racist.
Maybe his name
right?
is Omar.
I know non-Arabic Omars.
Why is it racist if his name is Omar? His name is not Omar.
Because he's applying it, and you don't know. He probably just wouldn't know what ethnicity he was.
Okay.
Well, he's giving it a name. It'd be like someone I don't know. Just giving a stereotypical name. Maybe his name was James, and he was.
His name was James.
Why am
okay.
I defending this?
So, does Gwen have to break up with him then? I mean, that is protocol, right?
I think her friends are probably telling her she has to break up with him.
Huh. Well, okay.
Is there been any big massive apology, or is he just trying to achieve this through a couple tweets?
Didn't you read his apology? Yeah, that's.
No, I didn't see his apology. I did not.
I thought that's what you just read. I'm sorry.
17 minutes ago.
Well, those were. They seemed like they were just sort of, I don't know.
He said something about his sense of humor is dumb or something like that. So
yeah. Is it immature? Yes. Is it hateful? No, never.
What about the tomato? Are you?
Oh, we talked about the flying tomato a lot yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you're washed up.
Did you read that, Trudy?
I did.
What'd you think?
The one comment, it's like... I noticed you wore a fleece to practice.
I know. That was the one
that
got
Don't ever wear
me.
Anything like that again or I'll make you go home.
I would have thought any female would just go, oh, my God, what a complete asshole. I thought. I felt that way completely. Mm-hmm. Like, how dare you? Who the fuck do you think you are?
Don't forget to suck his balls. That was his advice to her.
But didn't she send something back then with a picture of herself with a see-through top and say, is this okay?
No, he
sent
that to her.
To saying, could you wear this?
Oh.
Something she'd worn in the past?
I believe so, yeah.
I think it was him.
So maybe was there something going on at some point?
No, she claims she tried to make out with her once and she rejected him.
At the Halloween party, yeah. Yeah, and ever since then he was a total ass to her. And then he was an even bigger dick when he came back from the Olympics when he didn't medal.
Yes. I can
that's when he's
that.
Like, suck my dick! Just yelling that to people.
And why didn't
smack
he
her on the butt.
Really?
Threatened to smack her in the face. Yeah, he's a total asshole.
Why didn't he like red lipstick? What was his problem with that?
He's controlling.
Clashes with his red hair.
Clashes with his orange hair, yeah.
Who would tell a woman what to wear in a band? I just can't. I mean, another band member just seems like that's ridiculous. You have a manager or something and they want to maybe, you know, try and nudge you to wear something... different. That's, I suppose that's part of your overall presentation. But for him, I mean, like, he's the bastion of style. I thought she looked pretty good, actually.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I couldn't see what he was beefing about.
Was her hair tacky?
No.
No.
I don't think so either.
No. Oh, well, he should talk. He has that gross sort of Ronald McDonald look going on.
I know.
So.
No, he looks horrible for a long time.
Can you cue up his band again?
Oh no! Don't.
What?
I don't want,
but you know,
want to hear him
isn't
again.
He?
What are you talking about?
Take it. They're horrible.
Isn't he suffering?
I don't know.
That
one song's really catchy. It was in my head all night.
No, poor you.
I read as much as I could about the band. By the way, after the podcast yesterday. Yeah, they signed with Warner Brothers.
They did. Oh, on the strength of him being the Flying Tomato.
Of course. Yeah. I don't think they've moved any product though.
No.
I don't think there's any record sales.
Don't you just picture Shaun White's grandma has a basement full of CDs?
Yeah. I think they're going to have to do a lot of touring to make money.
Ooh.
Do you think she could really play drums?
No, it didn't look like it.
Not the videos we saw.
She's no Meg White.
You know what's really funny about it? It's the total case of the young guy with a ton of money who can pay band members. Because she was on the band members were all making $3,700 a month. They were on salary. That's got to be his money.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because he's a multi. I mean, he has loads of money. Sold a Hollywood Hills house for $2.2 million recently.
Right.
Oh really?
Well, isn't that a ginger who actually, you know, got some fame and then it just like totally possessed him because all of his life he was suppressed as a ginger.
He actually got revenge.
Yeah,
his hair's not red either. He's
not
his
anymore.
Hair's dark now.
Yeah,
I feel it's dyed. The feeling. I think that wiener would tell the tale.
Is this his band?
Abnormally pink.
This is their best song by far.
Oh boy.
You can hear how controlling he is too. He's a pretty good drummer.
It's a cover of the Swing Light Band. Awesome.
Listen to how controlling Shaun White is, though. Those fills.
It's a stone
groove. I wonder who came up with this in the movie.
Oh, it has to be
Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah, Yoakam.
It's so awesome.
Is that change? I love the crowd, too, is John Ritter and Billy Bob, Carl.
This really makes me miss John Ritter.
I know.
You gotta play through it. You get well on a gig, but you gotta play through it.
You play through it.
Do you like it, Vaughn?
Fun.
Sure, sounds like a number one hit tune already. Yeah. How about you, Carl? Carl, do you like that?
Carl.
I reckon.
I can't hear myself think for that rack.
Hey!
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 I'm calling the police!
I told you three times already! The law's on my side! I play cards with J.D. Shelnut, chief of police! So kiss my ass, you little bastard!
Hey, Linda. You and Frank clean this mess up for us. Put the tarp over his ass. Me and the boys gotta go down to the county line with our liquor and beer.
Alright.
Hey, he's such an ass. Remember, too. Then they go to pick up beer, and they leave the guy in the wheelchair on the stage by himself. He can't get down.
That's a great, what a movie.
Doyle Hargreaves Band.
Part two is coming up. We're talking to the chick on the cover of Woodstock. Lady wrapped up in the banky, and we have another, interview number two? Oh, maybe we might be talking to the reporter or the cameraman who shot. Get my dog!
Get my dog!
Get my dog!
I'm drowning. Get my dog.
So plenty left.
Better not be.
Help me.
Better not be.
Hope you enjoyed part one. Part two's coming up.
Get my dog.
Get my dog.
Get my dog.